This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome to the clubhouse, to the finishing school, if you will, where all the bad ideas in the land get sent to be turned
and then they're
into
murdered
the
by Professor
for,
X.
Well, hang on. Let me try to explain what the show is and then we can make the X-Men jokes.
It'd be a very dark turn.
Yes, absolutely.
We find ideas from the internet and we try to turn them into good stories. That's what we try to do here.
In just 10 very short minutes. Who's got our first bad idea for today?
I do. I have it.
Should we be afraid? Very afraid?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Guys, this is from the Daily Mail. So, you know, a grain of salt about its accuracy.
Okay.
Just completely.
Is it a grain or is it like one of those salt licks?
I'm not sure. Genuinely, okay. I'm not sure. I have not found this story through anything other than like in gossip magazines. So it may well not be true.
Great sign.
But it is the most horrifying heist job that I have ever heard about. And so I had to bring it to this show.
Okay.
I'm going to avoid the title because like Daily Mail titles, it's super long. But dear listeners, if you would like to read along, there are a ton of pictures that I frankly didn't need or want, but they're there and you can read the article. The link is in the episode description. So the first sentence works much better than the like paragraph of bold text that's above it. And I'm just going to I'm just going to go. So,
yeah, hit us.
A bitter divorce battle in Russia has led to cryogenically frozen bodies being seized in an extraordinary daytime raid.
Okay.
Staff of a company set up by Valeria Udalova, 59, grabbed the remains of people, including those from Britain and the U.S., who paid thousands of pounds, hoping to be brought back to life when science advances to allow this. She and her team raided the company run by her now ex-husband, Danila Medvedev, 41, near Moscow, which is home to Russia's leading cryo storage facility, says reports. They drained liquid nitrogen from the giant tanks containing frozen bodies and grabbed these and some detached human brains and loaded them onto trucks.
Oh, God. Not cool, man.
Really not cool. Police were called and intercepted the macabre cargo of human remains preserved by Frankenstein technology, which offers humans the chance to come back to life in the future.
This is like very anti-cryo writing. My God. Come on. Have a little faith, writer.
Medvedev told RTVI, the police did not catch Valeria. She left, taking someone's brain from cryo storage.
Oh, God.
So there is a woman and brain on the loose.
Jeez, this episode of Hannibal is out of control.
Quote, the brains of our neuro patients were kept separately in special metal medical boxes. Both Medvedev, who runs Creo Russ, and its ex-boss Udalova, who started a new company called Open Cryonics in the Tver region, claim to be the legitimate owners of the human remains. Police are now examining the rival claims while demanding that
I love that ownership of this human remain that will theoretically be a human being.
Yes.
Gabrielle, their clients are renting. It's a subscription service.
So police are examining the rival claims, demanding the feuding spouses guarantee the, quote, integrity of the frozen corpses and brains, as well as the bodies of dozens of dogs and cats that owners wanted to bring back to life in the future.
Huh.
There are fears that the remains may have been damaged in the raid. Quote, Valeria did not do it well. She just cheated, alleged Medvedev, who started a new family with another woman. It's my favorite sentence in the whole article.
Fascinating.
There's a risk of damage. It is impossible to transport dewars, which is, I think, the name for the big metal cylinders, in a horizontal position. Udalova claims she was unfairly ousted from her old company and is the rightful owner of its assets. The cost of a full body cryopreservation, in case you guys are curious, is around £26,000, so around like $3,600. or if you want to just save the brain, that's £11,000, or around $20,000.
Oh my God, just like The Simpsons predicted.
I know. The Simpsons are just right about everything.
Christ.
Some 82 patients were in the company's warehouse. They refer to the remains as patients, including 25 foreigners.
I did recently see a video where someone was talking to a cryo laboratory here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And the prices that that person in that video quoted were about twice as high as the ones that you just quoted, Sarah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess you can get your discount cryo.
By being flown to Russia.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
We have very good deal for you, friend.
Oh, bless you, sir.
Yeah.
Among the brains frozen in the Moscow store is Dr. Yuri Pugachin, who died in 2008 after inventing the chemical cocktail which preserves people for posterity in a deep freeze at minus 196 degrees Celsius.
And now with family discount.
Yeah. A human brain, quote, woken in the decades or centuries to come could be implanted in another human body, it is claimed.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
For some, this is a sci-fi nightmare and a macabre affront to nature. I think that's where you stand, the writer of this article. For others, a realistic prospect and a tantalizing step forward towards everlasting life. So this is what I have brought to you both. It is a raid of frozen bodies that might be brought back to life at some point in a bitter feud between two Russian ex-spouses. I'm going to put...
So one moment, though. Like, sure, well, go ahead and start the timer. Go ahead and start the timer.
But the timer.
Just like, I have to admit, amidst all the tood towards the cryogenic industry, I am genuinely curious, like, what was the reason for the theft exactly? Like,
so
I think that it was
in
there, but I got lost in the tango.
Yeah, that's totally all right. When they divorce... I assume it's not entirely clear from the writing of the article.
Uh-huh.
The wife of Valeria was ousted from the company that the two of them had founded together. She founded a new cryogenics company that she owns, but she's also disputing with her now ex-husband about who gets to keep the bodies.
Okay.
And
but like, but they're the bodies of kind of earlier. Like,
yes,
they're not
they
the
are.
Bodies of them. Like, they're bodies of the clients, I
they
suppose.
They are bodies of the clients who paid the company money to be frozen
got
in liquid
it.
Nitrogen
got
after
it,
death.
Got it. I, for one second, I was like, wait a minute. So she's stealing, like, her ex-husband's brain or something? Like, this is a divorce.
I mean,
this is the War of the Roses gone very wrong.
That would be metal as hell, but that is not what's happening. She apparently escaped with
death
a
do us
brain.
Part, I said, and he is not dead, according to cryogenics.
Oh my God.
There we go. All right.
Okay, got it. Wow.
About 9 minutes.
So,
boy.
I have a dark twist in much the same way that Ocean's 11 evolved into that very weird movie by Chris Nolan with the spinning top, whose name I should totally remember, but it's completely forgotten. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I was actually looking forward to letting him spin for a second there, Sarah, to see how long it would take.
Oh, it would have been bad. The details that would have been pulled.
No, Inception, yes.
And so so here's the thing. What if we lived in a near future sci-fi world, not unlike a Black Mirror episode? So maybe this is what this is, or maybe it's a feature in the spirit of where cryonics is bullshit tech, not to say it's not very successful financially, because, you know, rich people need something to believe in. If they, you know, don't have heaven, they're going to pay for this if they want to live forever. And so what you can do with a brain, though, is transfer text string information, God knows how, through some black box that we'll, you know, lampshade the fuck out of. But sure. But basically, you can get ASCII strings, which means you can get people's passwords. And so there is now a black market for freshly dead brains, because holy shit, if I can get into their retirement accounts, if I can get into their crypto accounts, oh boy.
And 1 second.
Yes.
When you say, sorry,
ASCII is it's like
you mean like extracting like thoughts from the brain?
No, but specifically things that can be typed out on a keyboard.
Basically,
just strings of text. You get like a lot of like common incessant thoughts, like this doesn't make any sense, or like I hate myself, or like, you know, just like like they suck. You know, just like you get like a lot of garbage and noise. Mm-hmm. But then occasionally you get like Bruins 42 and it's like, fuck, that's a password. Like, you know, let's try it. And, you know,
I see.
You go.
So this is how we recover all the lost Bitcoin.
Well, I think that this is where you now have like these potentially ridiculous and often unsuccessful attempts to convince wealthy people that this is something that they should do, or to like make sure they get murdered in a facility that like can get this done right quick while it still will work. And then you can decide whether this should be a comedy or a horror.
So it's basically like, you know, like con people are setting up like a fake cryo service that is just like a ruse to be able to extract thoughts out of people's brains to more effectively steal from their remaining loved ones.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much the pitch.
Great.
Tight.
I think that there needs to be like, what is the big thing that they're trying to steal? Because I feel that this is a very complicated, like I feel there's more simple ways to con people, which means that there needs to be like one big person that they're after, a la Inception.
This would only be funny to people who are like, you know, following the crypto bullshit. And there's this one guy who claims very obviously like falsely to be Satoshi Nakamoto, the like in quote unquote inventor of Bitcoin. Who's like private address theoretically owns like 10% of all Bitcoin ever. And if it ever moved would be like, you know, the great fortune of this like crazy little history.
And just for anyone that doesn't know, this Satoshi fellow, famously nobody knows who they really are, and Satoshi is a nom de guerre, right?
Yeah, it's like a Banksy kind of figure.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's very likely to be like a brain trust of a couple people that have been working together on stuff like this for years.
Okay, but there is one person out there that claims that they are Satoshi.
Who just has been running around being like, I'll sue you. Like a very Trump-like figure. Just like, I'll sue you. I'm totally Satoshi. It's me. Believe me. Buy my wares. It's like very, very much that attitude. So I'm imagining that like shitty scammers that like have no read on irony or like didn't look into it are like, oh, so he is Satoshi. We must take his brain. Very good. I don't know. This is one direction to go. I'm not saying that this is the right one.
Yeah, I'm much more interested in the version where like these are very good thieves and scammers. Yeah. And like this guy really is
sophisticated stuff.
Cool. I mean, I'm down to take it in the serious direction too. They actually find like the seven people that like might have the information and try to piece it together. But I think in that world, maybe the technology is slightly more advanced than just like text print. Like it just doesn't print out like a receipt of all the random text. It's like maybe there's some sort of interactive element so you can have those subjective scenes where somebody has to kind of like break into the brain in like a kind of Tron-esque visualization of mental activity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is like Inception.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, this is speeding towards just like
except a without reskin bullshit where you don't know if you're in the dream. I don't know, unless that's where you guys want to take this.
No. And in many ways, I think
spoilers.
It's not a spoiler. That movie came out, I think, a decade ago at this point.
Also, if you know that there's some bullshit where they're not sure if they're in a dream or not, congratulations. You are now 1/10 into the bullshit that something's going to throw at you.
That's true.
And I say that as someone that loves that movie and thinks that it's great.
It's very fun. I would have killed to shoot that movie, but doesn't mean I don't shake my fist at it.
Yeah. And I think that, like, sort of like what I'm running into, what my brain is running into now is kind of this, like, if this technology exists, I don't know that there is a world in which these, like, powerful, rich people are not aware that this technology exists. And so therefore they must have, like, some kind of defense against it. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, you know, like stealing the brain, getting the brain to the place where you can hook it up to the machine. That's just step one. After that, you need to, like, step into the Matrix, like, room that lets you speak to the brain and now get them to tell you the password. And I think that that movie I'm very interested in, sort of this kind of, like,
Ex Machina-esque.
Right. And it's sort of this, like, you know, you're dead, it's over, just, like, give us the thing. And they're kind of like, no, convince me. Like, you know, I'm not going to give you the password. And then it's
interested in this version of Entreatment, I will say.
Cool.
And yeah, and now it's sort of this, like, chess game between this person that is trying to do the stealing and kind of the dead person in the preserved brain.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that that version of it, I could see kind of like going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how, what side would break first. It would kind of a little bit be like that, again, to continue stealing from Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. It would be like the Christmas episode of Black Mirror, where there is kind of the sense of, like, you know, you are stuck in this, like, mental cabin until one side breaks and you're not sure kind of like which one it is going to be. But I don't know kind of like what finally, like, breaks the impasse.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I mean, if the brain can run in other hardware, so to speak, as the article suggests, perhaps the criminal person who's interfacing with the brain gets kind of taken over by the mind inside the machine at some point in the movie, just for somewhere,
like,
to take it.
Like body jacked, like sort of this, like, interesting.
Just to take it somewhere, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, to pull in Matrix-y things, kind of what happens to you there has physical consequence. And so, like, there's maybe a potential for the brain to jump bodies or something.
I actually really, really like that. And that makes sense as, like, a defense that these, like, you know,
right,
that the Uber super billionaires of the world have developed. Would have.
Right.
That is like, you know, oh, you tried to connect to me, lol, your body is mine now.
Well, that's time.
That is also, incidentally, the title of the movie, Your Body Is Mine Now.
Yeah, there you go. Amazing. This was as horrifying as I wanted it to be.
I like that kind of, like, we were like, okay, so we think it's a horror thing, and then it's like, maybe it's a comedy, and then we came back to like, no, it's a horror thing.
You just have to test the waters, you know?
Yeah, but, like, this really had its own gravitational pull.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we're gonna go write up that script and, you know, steal an executive's body or something to get it made, but we'll be back fairly soon for another bad idea.
Hello there, Zach Valenti jumping into this episode with this brief reminder that we have an active Patreon page to support the production of No Bad Ideas and all the other crazy worlds we're building behind the scenes. To check that out, scope the sweet rewards we offer for monthly subscriptions, as well as how to sign up yourself. Head on over to nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Once more, that's nobadideaspodcast.com/support. If you already support the show, we so appreciate that. And regardless, thank you for listening. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas.
All right, folks, welcome back to No Bad Ideas, and we are here for our second course in this meal of awfulness. And hilariously, you know, even though we don't kind of compare ideas beforehand, as sometimes happens in the synchronicities of these things, We've kind of ended up with a little bit of a theming thing going on here, because my idea also involves ideas of repossession and kind of taking something back from people that are maybe no longer in a position to be able to use it anymore. Although we are leaving behind the great land of Russia and heading for the sunny shores of Mexico. Are you guys ready to jump in?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it.
All righty. So from our friends at the Huffington Post comes this story. The headline reads, Mexico holding lottery for El Chapo's safe house.
Wow. Cool. Cool, 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 cool. Cool, cool.
Lottery, cool. You say?
Well, I will explain, or rather the article will. So let's get into it. The house former drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman fled in 2014 when Mexican Marines had him surrounded underwent some changes recently, as the Mexican government is prepared to give it away in a national lottery. So among other changes, the surveillance cameras that covered every angle of the home's exterior were removed, and the hole under a bathtub that Guzman had slipped through to reach a network of tunnels was covered with a concrete slab.
Bummer.
I know, that seems like a good feature. That seems like the Associated Press was given access to the property in a quiet Culiacan neighborhood ahead of the lottery. In recent weeks, Mexico's Institute to Return Stolen Goods to the People, which, by the way, what an amazing government institution to have. Mexico's Institute to Return Stolen Goods to the People, known by its initials as the INDEP, gave it a fresh coat of white paint inside and out and tiled over the spot in the bathroom where the tub and tunnel entry point had been. President Andrés Manuel López Obrador has been talking up the lottery of seized properties, but gave no mention of the history of this particular house, an expansive home in one of Mexico's city's swankiest neighborhoods, in a private box at the famed Azteca Stadium has garnered more attention. INDEP's website listed only as Casa en Culiacán. It's about 2,800 square feet and located, perhaps appropriately, in a neighborhood called Libertad, or Freedom.
Wow.
The government values the two-bedroom house at $183,000. The house had been abandoned for years, and the Marines did some damage when they searched it, so repairs were necessary. Guzman escaped that time through the tunnels, but his freedom lasted only a few days. On February 22nd, 2014, the Marines descended again, this time in a condo on the coast of Mazatlan. By that time, Guzman had already accumulated a reputation for daring escapes. He had slipped out of one of Mexico's maximum security prisons in 2001, allegedly in a laundry cart. In July 2015, less than a year and a half after his capture in Mazatlan, Guzman slipped through a tunnel dug up to the drain in his cell's shower and rode a motorcycle on tracks laid through a tunnel to escape another maximum security Mexican prison. El Chapo, terrible human being, but you cannot deny that he had flair. You cannot deny that he had style.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And that's why it's such a shame that they got rid of that secret exit. I mean, I know. Come on.
The Marines captured him again 6 months later in Los Mochis, Sinaloa, where he had been holed up in another unremarkable home. Guzman was extradited to the United States, tried, convicted, and sentenced to life in prison July 2019. But back to the house. INDEP officials who declined to be identified because they were not authorized to speak said they were surprised the house was getting attention. It's not luxurious. There is no swimming pool. None of the ostentation that characterizes other narco properties in Sinaloa. People nearby said they didn't even know who their neighbor had been. Quote, I mean, we never knew anything.
Really?
Yeah. We never knew who lived there. We never saw anyone, said one neighbor, who quickly cut off the conversation. That's a real please don't ask me any more questions sort of vibe.
Yeah.
Many locals aren't interested in speaking of Guzman or even saying his name in a place where the Sinaloa cartel remains powerful. So I want to skip ahead a little bit. Like, there's a little bit more of like Guzman living there. And I just want to just like get to like the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, originally, INDEP tried to auction off the home last year. It started the bidding at $130,000. There were no takers.
Wow.
Now, López Obrador, the president, is giving it away as part of the lottery, with the drawing scheduled for Wednesday, the day before Mexico celebrates its Independence Day. It's the first time Mexico's national lottery is giving away property. The proceeds...
Wow.
I know, right? The proceeds are to go to Mexico's Olympic athletes. Quote, this raffle is very important, and I call on all the people, those who can help, buying a ticket or two or three or more, López Obrador said at his daily news conference last week. In downtown Mexico City, lottery ticket vendors said sales have been good. Jorge López said he's been selling 100 to 120 of the $12 tickets daily since last week. Right now, it's selling very well. He said the value of the 22 prizes, many well above the Culiacán house, is drawing attention. Some people asked about who the property's previous owners were, but not many, he said. Back in Culiacán, across town near the center, Ignacio Mariscal said he supports the lottery. Quote, those houses didn't serve anyone. Those people had them, Mariscal said. I see it as perfectly fine. It's to help people in need. All right, so a little bit of a long story, but basically, some poor sap is going to win the lottery and, among other things, or possibly as his only prize, win the former safe house of the most infamous drug kingpin of the last, I would say, probably 50 years.
Yeah.
And hope none of his friends want to come and knock it.
Oh, let's hope not. But I'm going to start a timer for 10 minutes. And how do we want to spin this?
I mean, I think in our version, they need to have done an incredibly bad job of getting rid of all of the, not remodeling in generally, like it can have new tile or whatever, but I think a lot of the trap doors and like secret passages and stuff still need to be there.
Oh, no, 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 no. They blocked the bathtub tunnel, but they never found the tunnel behind the bookcase and the one, like, you know, the Clue style tunnels in the kitchen. Like, you know, they blocked the tunnel they found.
Also, you know what he always said? A safe in every wall. That was not a metaphor.
Yeah. So I'm curious what you guys are thinking, whether we want to do sort of like a Dave style story where someone really unassuming gets this house and ends up becoming a better drug mastermind than the previous owner ever was, or whether, you know, to sort of deal with your instinct, Zach, of someone inherits this house and then the walls can't talk because people keep coming and shooting the owners.
I'm just saying the Latin American remake of Parasite is going to be intense.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord. I mean, that for that, you know, you start off where, spoilers for the end of Parasite, where Parasite ends and like the lottery winner gets this house and there are definitely still people living there.
Right. And, you know, and like, I think that there is a version of it where it's like, you know, at least in the real world, thankfully, El Chapo is, we know where he is. But if this was a version of it where it was like, you know, oh, it was, we now know that it was once a safe house for this notorious kingpin, but he disappeared 5 years ago. We never caught him. He could still be living in like the bunker underneath the house.
And then he gives the new owner romantic advice. No.
That's funny. Through an earpiece.
I mean, there is some, I have to confess, there is something to that, to just kind of like...
Like the worst version of Cyrano de Bergerac of all time.
And it'd be funny if it wasn't just Cyrano de Bergerac, if it wasn't just like romantic advice, but he was just kind of like helping this like very meek, trod
sad
upon
sack.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of like be better at all the things in life.
I'm here for it.
Just kind of like, you know, don't let your boss talk to you that way. You go up to that guy and you tell him this, that, and that, and that. And it's kind of like, no, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Go do it. Go do it. And it works.
Yeah. But then there has to be a line where it stops working, or where, you know, our sort of milquetoast-esque protagonist finds some newfound confidence. And that's very good. But then, like, do they become a bully?
There's definitely
pull themselves back from that, you know.
Oh, and like, you know, like I think that like the drug kingpin would at first seem to just be like I think the line is like, look, I am incredibly bored down here. I just want to, like, you know, spice up my life by helping out yours. But at a certain point, it's like, Don't let the guy in that store talk to you that way. You go buy a rifle and you rob that store. You like stick that rifle in the guy's face. Like all of a sudden, like the advice tips into, okay, now you're really trying to push this guy into the dark side of the force. But by now, the guy has had his life so improved by the drug kingpin's advice that there's maybe even
that
a second
a level of
like,
trust there. Yeah.
Right.
When you were advising me to get the punching bag, that actually really helped.
Yeah.
But I don't want to punch this guy in the teeth.
And, you know, and I think that like the key is that like it needs to be like real subtle. Like as an audience, we need to really be like in this place of like, no, listen to the drug kingpin. OK, so he's kind of a mass murderer, but he's just giving you fucking good advice. Like, and your life is more entertaining for me as the viewer when you're following the drug kingpin's advice.
Yeah.
But then it goes too far.
Yeah. And so, you know, it concludes, I imagine, with a fight between the drug dealer and his protege.
Uh-huh.
And I either like, you know, sort of a Hot Fuzz style, like fires the gun into the air, lets him escape, or, you know, actually the drug dealer gets finally captured. And this milquetoast-esque guy who's a clerk does the thing that all of the police and SWAT and army could not do, which is bring this guy in.
And you know what he does? He does the like holier than thou thing of like, I'm not going to fight you. And he's like, no, you're going to fight me. And the drug kingpin won't let it go because he wants him to fight back. And that's what gets him to stay just too long for the DEA's response time, being the bigger man and like trying to like let his friend get away if only he can like let go of his biggest weakness, which is his obsession with violence.
Incidentally, there has to absolutely be a moment early on when like the meek new guy goes to the police and is like, whoa, I found this guy. He's like living in my basement. And the police are like, sure.
That's funny.
Yeah, right, buddy. Whatever you say. And like maybe like even comes back with like a little bit more proof and they're all like, yeah, sure, whatever. Just because like I think that there needs to be sort of a little bit of that not feeling like an option. Like of just kind of like, no, he tried that and they didn't believe him. Like that needs to kind of be established early on.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I could even imagine them coming by and like kind of looking around and hearing a sound down in like the basement, and then it's like a rat in the corner just like gnawing on some bullshit.
Like, yeah,
you silly fuck. Like kids around
thank you
here,
for wasting our time.
Yeah, the kids around here have wasted enough of our time with the ghosts in the basement.
Right. And then it can almost even be like, don't call us again or we will kick your ass. Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like we are very upset at you now.
Is there a world just for the credibility? Like, could he not be paying off the police to like
100%?
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Like, bring him cans of Chef Boyardee or whatever.
Right. And like the romantic object of this person's affection is like a clean police officer, but like they're superior and like the rest of the department are in on it.
Oh, shit.
And so like it gets rolled up the chain and then immediately quashed. And like the directive comes down of like, don't go to that fucking house.
Right. Yeah. So he is on his own. And we established that
early on
in the movie.
I like that. I like that a lot. What does this man do? Like, what is his job?
That's a good question. I said clerk earlier, but that was completely random. If we can find something that ties in more nicely and that would like give, I feel like it should be client facing in some way so that the drug dealer has.
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is, I think, no knock on it, but it seems like a particularly sad job that I've interacted with ever. In it's not only customer service, it's like a particular kind of like remote customer service where you go to a physical location at an airport to rent a car. And there is a kiosk with a TV screen that when it boots up, there's somebody's face right there. And there's just like call centers around the world. And this is the new way that you get to interact with a customer service representative at like a brick and mortar establishment. And there's maybe one guy in the back who like makes sure the like kiosks work. But yeah, I'm just imagining.
So remote customer service.
That's right.
I hate that as a concept, which means I love it for this guy's profession.
Oh, no, this is perfect.
Yeah, no. So he spends all day just like getting yelled at by assholes.
That's right.
Like, you know,
where's my SUV? I'm sorry, sir. You booked a budget compact?
No, I didn't.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, so he gets spends his day getting berated. So, of course, he doesn't stand up for himself. This makes all the sense.
No, and like, you know, and he has a job that has trained him to kind of be like, no matter what the abuse is that gets hurled at you,
the correct response
is yes, sir. No, sir. Please, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, sir.
And the drug kingpin just needs to do like a little bit of rewiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it improves his performance at his job, honestly.
Honestly. No. There's kind of that like, you know, sorry to bother you, where all of a sudden it's kind of a like, wait a minute, your talents are being wasted here.
Right. It could definitely go that direction. Like, oh my God, the losses for this like department have gone down 15%. Who's not issuing refunds and getting 5 stars out of the customer surveys? My God. You're an anomaly.
Amazing.
I love it. And that is time.
The anomaly.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I was thinking about something like the house guester, but like, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. Well done, guys. That is a terrifying romp through man's strange encounter with the most wanted man living in his basement.
Fuck.
Incredible.
Well, Fox Searchlight, we'll be waiting for the call, and everybody else, can't wait to see you again next week for more No Bad Ideas. This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabriel Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.